from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Heyo, welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 99, and if you're listening on Drop Day, it's July 19th. Baseball is back tonight. Episode 99. Alex Verdugo, it's the last one. This is the last one. From this point forward, there won't be any player numbers. It's triple digits. There's never been a triple digit player. But I think it's fair. Normally, I'd be like, not going to do the Doogie thing, whatever. But they're playing the Dodgers. He played for the Dodgers. Like, he would be an off limits guy's being dudes guy. But yeah, it's the Doogie episode. This is the official podcast of getting back on the saddle, also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button, whether you're listening on the Odyssey app, Apple, or Spotify. Subscribe, rate five stars. Go to the YouTube channel on the WEI channel. We have the Play Tessie playlist. You can hit the thumbs up on those videos. We really appreciate that. And we are at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Definitely should be following on those. I am here with Pat. I'm here with Joe, who's filling in for Sammy today. Fellas, we are. It is time to get back in the saddle, and we are going to preview. This episode is going to be a Red Sox Dodgers series preview episode, because way back when we talked, we do the series preview right after we do the series recap. We recapped the Royals series, but the Dodgers series wasn't coming up for, what, like 5-6 days or whatever at that point? So like, yeah, we weren't going to preview it then. We did a first half recap at that point, which was great. Great podcasting. We handed out some awards. We had a great time. So now comes the time to preview the Dodgers series. I guess I don't want to go right into the preview. So I want to ask a question that I saw on Twitter. I want to say Chris Smith from Mass Live was the one who quote tweeted someone asking this question. If you guys had a choice before the trade deadline, before the trade deadline, if you could pick one for the Red Sox to either extend Alex Cora, and he's the manager of the future, or make a trade to address a need, whether it be in the starting rotation or a right-handed bat, you can only have one. which one are you picking?
That's a really, it's tricky because I think you could make the argument that both are just as valuable and extremely important. I think probably I would probably make the trade because you have to look at it from a 10,000 foot view and look at both sides of it. Alex Cora, the way you get him to stay and sign a potential contract extension is to invest in this team and make that trade. Go get someone in the rotation. Go get a right-handed bat, whatever that is. Because essentially what you haven't done over the past years, you haven't made those trades and you've distanced yourself from Cora. Cora is basically, he's been outward and saying he's not going to manage the rest of his life. He wants to make use of his time as a manager. So you look at a team that could be in a better spot, just scoop him up at the end of the year. So the way you can convince him and change his opinion of that, saying that he wants to be in Boston for however long he wants to be a manager, is to go make that trade. So I'm making the trade first.
Joe, here's the thing. Yes, Alex Cora wants them to invest in this team. That is very important to Alex Cora. But you want to know what the most important thing to Alex Cora at least should be, and I'm fairly sure it is because he's only human. The most important
money.
Alex Cora.
Money. I think it's money.
Money.
Money, money, money. If you offered him $8 million a year today for, let's say, 4 years after this, 4 years, 32 mil, he's not going to turn that down and go to free agency, I don't think, right? I don't know. I don't think so. But that, I don't know. That doesn't,
what did Council just get?
$8 million.
He got $8 million a year. I don't know the length of the contract, but he got $8 million a year. I don't know if there's going to be a team that's going to give Cora that. That's a whole separate discussion. But it sounds like Joe's answer to this is make the trade and worry about.
Yeah, you want to have at least a shot of like being appealing for Cora if he wants to make that decision, if he's weighing staying or going, depending on the contract.
Here's what I will say, knowing what I know about Cora, and I've learned a lot this year about him, both from talking to people who in the know, from being at the ballpark, and obviously it's been written about ad nauseum because it's such a hot topic. He loves Boston. He wants to be here. He wants to manage the Red Sox. He loves the players they have. Saw him tweeting about, I mean, he sees Jaren Duran as a son. You saw the way he delivered the news of Jaren going to the All-Star game. This is not a guy, like, I think it's so stupid when people say, do we even, like, know that Cora wants to be here? Of course he does. But it has to be at his price, at the price that he's worth, at the price that he's proven he's worth. So if you're going to give him a fair value to stay, he's going to stay. But you have to give it. And the question is, can that fair value be determined before he hits free agency, or is that something that can only be figured out once he hits the open market? I don't know. I personally don't think that he would turn down $8 million a year if you threw it at him today. That's just my thought. But Pat, if you had to pick extending Cora today or making a trade that helps the team today, which one are you picking?
Oddly enough, I think Joe just, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Flip-flopped himself. Because you said make the trade to keep Cora. Keep Cora. Just sign him. I would sign Cora 100%. You have guys. Duran has been so vocal about his love, appreciation, admiration for Cora, what he means. You've had Kenley just spew nothing but praise about Alex Cora, how much he means to the young guys. You've had Raffy. Raffy is, again, just so loving of Cora. The whole team loves Cora. You had Sale, who crashed Duran's media availability on MLB Network, saying that he texted Cora when Duran got the All-Star nod. Everybody who has ever been under Alex Cora loves Alex Cora. And guys outside of the organization know that. They know that. So, yeah, like it would suck to maybe not make the playoffs this year, not add to the team. But it's just so short-sighted in my eyes to focus on this year. Locking in Cora gets you free agents want to play for him, guys who are here want to be extended to play for him, and he wants to be here. It's a no-brainer for me. You extend Alex Cora.
That's such an interesting thing to me. You just said about free agents and them wanting to play for Cora. Because like there's a theory, and honestly, it's the theory that I subscribe to, which is that John Henry has an overall baseball budget and says, here you go, Craig Breslow. You have this budget, like player, all the staff, the minor league salaries, like the manager's salary, and then obviously the major league salaries go into that budget. And you can do what you want with the budget, but if you spend $8 million on a manager, that counts towards it. So it's up to you to determine whether it's worth it. Is there ever a circumstance where you can get a guy to come to Boston for less because of the guy who's managing the team? It's possible. I mean, you're not going to save a lot, but like if you lose Cora, you're probably paying whoever his replacement is $2 million or so a year. Pat?
Yeah, I mean, sure. There's probably good managing options out there for $2 or $3 million, like David Ross being one. But like in my eyes, even if it is one global baseball operations budget for everything from the top down to the bottom, would paying $8 million to Alex Cora really be that much of a hindrance?
No.
Guys, like Story coming back, Giolito, like you have a lot of pieces in place next year, including Marcelo and Teal likely up. Even if he wants $10 million, I think you have to do it because the team's good enough where you can add on the peripherals for cheap and you're still a wild card team.
And the thing is, Pat, like, yes, they're in a position where they can make that investment, but also like the point I was trying to make is like, does making that investment also save you money down the road because it makes Boston such a desirable, for instance, like Zach Eflin went to Tampa, even though he could have got arguably more elsewhere. Like that's because that's where he wanted to be. Do guys see the young and up and coming core in Boston managed by this guy, Alex Cora, who everyone loves? And just to give my answer, to me, extending Alex Cora, it's almost as if you make a trade deadline acquisition, because part of what makes a trade deadline acquisition so good for a team is not just that you're adding that player, but also it gives the team in place a jolt. It's like, hey, we believe in you guys. Like that's what's killed the last 2 years of Red Sox teams, is that they didn't just not get the jolt, they got deflated. Extending Alex Cora may not be adding to the team, but it does give those guys a jolt, because what percentage, how many guys on the team? It's like everybody on the team is under control except for like Kenley, who I'm sure will not be back next year. Chris Martin, who we'll see. Nick Pivetta, maybe, maybe not. Tyler O'Neill. So like everyone else on the team, it's like that's important to them. They all love Cora. They all want him to be there. None of them wants him to leave. And if he does leave, who knows the kind of negative impact that could have replacing such a loved manager. So, yeah, I think it would give them a jolt almost as if it were a trade deadline acquisition.
Yeah. Picture is they need to do both. It's just I mean, that's obvious. But Pat, when you're talking about free agents wanting to come and play for him, they're not just going to look at that, but they're also going to look at front office and this budget supposedly that is out there. And they're seeing, oh, this team still is not willing to invest and try to actually go out and be serious to win. If you make this move, that's showing everyone else that they actually are invested. They are making an attempt to go and win rather than just sit on their hands and just hope things play out.
Yeah, and Gordo, circling back to what you were saying about free agents taking less money, I don't think that would happen. But what I do think is if you retain Alex Cora, you will not be in the position that the Baltimore Orioles are. If you trade for a guy like Corbin Burns, he's going to want to stay here. That's where I think it comes in. And the guys like Casas, Marcelo when he's up, those are the guys that you want to extend early on, knowing that they're going to have the same manager for a good chunk of that extension, and they get to be under him, play for him. That's going to be where the difference is. Guys are going to be more willing to sign those extensions. Guys are going to want to come here, even at full price, to pay for Alex Cora. And then on top of that, if you trade for these rental guys, these one-year, let's say they trade for whoever the fuck, and they've 1 year left, they're going to want to stay here. Like that's the importance of having a coach like Alex Cora compared to your cookie cutter, oh, get you to the playoffs manager. That's the difference in my eyes.
It's not a bad point because like when guys sign extensions, it's because obviously, yes, because the money's right. But it's also I like what I have here. I don't want to change what I have. But the issue is if the manager changes, I'm sorry, everything changes. That is the guy. That is the trendsetter. That is the guy at the top. And when you rip him out of the organization, you can't help but everything changes. So that's just the way it would be if they lost Cora. I think it's got to be such a priority to keep him. And I don't know if whether like because like there's been the whole belief of like the better they play, the more he's going to prove he's worth, which means they aren't likely to keep him. And then if they play badly, then it's like they're not even going to want to keep him. So like what is the chances that he actually stays? Whatever. I think if they play well, the pressure is going to be hot, not just from the fans, but from the players to make sure you do what you can to keep this guy. I think it's already pretty hot. Just seeing the stuff that Kenley Jansen has said to Bradford on baseball isn't boring, on foul territory. Like these guys will take any chance they can to speak highly of Cora. But I'm going to transition us into the series preview because it is time to play some baseball. If you're listening on Drop Dates tonight, they're playing the Dodgers. I know it's the big bad Dodgers. They have Shohei Ohtani. Mookie Betts is not playing. So that's where they're at. But the Dodgers are 56-41. Obviously good. They're 7 games in first place. But they're only 1 game in front of the Red Sox in the loss column. So this is not like a matchup that you can't win. All right? It's the Dodgers. As of today, while we're recording this, we don't have the Dodgers pitchers for the series, though we can give a fair guess. The Red Sox pitchers have been announced. You got Nick Pivetta, Cutter Crawford, and Brian Bayo. And just to give a quick recap of these guys, Nick Pivetta coming off 6 2/3 innings of 4 earned run ball and 10 strikeouts against Oakland. That was the one game they lost in that series. And I didn't love Nick Pivetta that day, even though he struck out 10, but he has struck out 10 in back-to-back starts. Next game, you got Cutter Crawford, who's coming off back-to-back 7 shut pieces. In this particular one, he had 7 shutout with 4 strikeouts against Kansas City. His ERA is at 3.04 for the season. And then in the third game, you got Brian Bayo, who's coming off 6 1/3, 3 earned run ball, 3 strikeouts against the Royals. Thought he pitched okay in this one, but obviously not the season that you would love like for him. He's got a 5.32 ERA. Holy shit, he's 10-5.
Yeah, I don't know how.
That's crazy.
He's getting the run support. What can you say?
Meanwhile, Tanner Houck's what, 8-6?
Tanner Houck is, yeah, 8-6. But Dodgers, they've got a lot of hurt pitchers. Let me read you some of these starters that they have hurt. Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow. I mean, that's 4 all-stars right there. Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, Emmett Sheehan. Those guys are all hurt. And then in the bullpen, both Joe Kelly and Ryan Brazier are down. Yeah, Pat?
And they sent down Bobby Miller.
Good one. So that is a lot of talent that is not with the team right now. I think the guys that we will see are Gavin Stone, who's been their best, James Paxton, obviously we all know him. And then if I had to guess for the third game, they'll go to another lefty. So we'll just give you a quick preview. Gavin Stone, 3.26 ERA, coming off back-to-back starts of 5 innings and under 4 earned runs. And 4 earned runs. Under 5 innings and 4 earned runs. James Paxton has a 4.38 ERA on the season, but he has allowed 14 earned runs in his last 3 starts, totaling 12 2/3 innings. And then I don't really know how to pronounce this guy's name. His name is Justin Robleski, I think it is. That's my guess who's throwing in this series. He's a lefty who's thrown 2 career starts. He's got a 6.3 ERA. But something tells me that if the Dodgers have their choice of who to throw at the Red Sox here, they're going to throw lefties. Because the Red Sox have shown that they are far more equipped to hit an elite righty than a crappy lefty. That's just who this team is. Hitters on this team, obviously Shohei's got 29 homers and a 1035 OPS. Freddie Freeman, 14 homers and an 887 OPS. Will Smith, the all-star catcher with 15 homers and an 838 OPS. Home run derby champion, Teoscar Hernandez with 19 homers and an 802 OPS. Both Mookie Betts and Max Muncy. They could have had him.
Could have had Teoscar.
And we talk about how badly they need a right-handed bat. That would have helped. But Mookie Betts and Max Muncy not playing in this series. Joe, do we have a quick standings update for the series predictions?
We do, because I got to go all the way back to Sunday when the Royals series ended, because we once again have a three-way tie. For second, myself and Pat correctly predicted the Sox to win 2 out of 3 from the Royals. Gordo, yourself, and Sammy predicted that they would lose 2 out of 3. So, once again, in a tie for second is myself, Pat, and Gordo with 6, all trailing Sammy, who still leads with 10.
So, I'm so glad I was wrong about that Royal series. That those pitching matchups scared the hell out of me, and I just underestimated the Sox. They're too good. But we have Sammy has sent in his prediction. He's predicting that they win 2 out of 3. I'm also going to predict that they win 2 out of 3 in the series. I'm going to predict that they win the Pivetta and the Cutter start. For whatever reason, Pivetta against the Dodgers feels like it just feels like we're going to get good Pivetta here, and Cutter with added rest just. And he's been rolling. Like, I feel great about that. Brian Baio, I mean, obviously not coming off of his worst start, but I could see them losing that Baio start, especially if the Dodgers throw a lefty there. So I'll take 2 out of 3. Pat?
Is it Stone then Paxton or Paxton then Stone?
Who the hell knows?
Okay. So let's say...
Let's assume it's Stone and then Paxton. We'll see.
Yeah, okay. I think they're going to win the middle game. They're going to win the Cutter start. I think Stone goes the first day against Pivetta. I think they lose that one. I like their odds in the second game, even though Paxton's a lefty. I like Cutter's odds against that Dodgers lineup. And then I think there's no shot in hell they win the Baio start. I don't care if they throw Jimmy McDickfuck. I don't think they win game 3 with Baio on the mound.
I like Jimmy McDickfuck.
Right, he's got a good splitter.
Future guys being dudes name from 1916. All right, Joe, what do you got?
You know, it's funny kind of thinking about this Dodger series, because you'd think like this would be the ideal time considering you look at the schedule, how the Dodgers lost 2 out of 3 to Detroit. They were swept by the Phillies, struggled a little bit with the Brewers, but they just had the break. They're coming off fresh. Shohei's fresh. But the other side of the coin is that they have a bunch of injured guys. You know, maybe their second best hitter, Mookie Betts, isn't playing. Muncy, who's always a threat, isn't playing. Their starting pitching is absolutely a mess right now. But I'm kind of on Pat's line. I actually am on Pat's lines and thinking they go loss, win, loss. Just because the Dodgers lineup, again, Pivetta, I want to give Pivetta a lot of credit, but it's still like, with a lineup like this, you cannot make a mistake. And Pivetta, you know, the mistakes might be minimal compared to what they were previously, but you can't do it to a Dodgers team that still has Shohei and Freddie Freeman and Teoscar Hernandez. Saturday, I like a rested Cutter against this lineup, and this might be a close one. Maybe like a 2-0 or a 4-2, kind of something like that. And then Sunday, I don't trust Baio at all, even though it's the Sunday Sox, and I would take a Sunday Sox over a Sunday Baio. You know, luckily it's at night, so at least it gives Baio a chance, but I still don't like Baio against this lineup. So
I just realized that I picked against the Sunday Sox, which feels stupid, but I'm not crazy enough to pick a sweep. But
no, I don't think either one is a sweep.
Dodgers are 13-10 in July. They're not that great. They've been scuffling. 13-10 in the month of July.
Just had a really rough series against Detroit, too.
Actually, that can't be right. I looked that up on StatMuse. We're 17 days into July. They're not 13-10 in July. I don't know. They've been scuffling. Let me see if I can pull up the calendar and see. Because I know that they entered the break kind of scuffling. Or at least that was the talk of the All-Star game. Whatever. I'm not going to be able to get it up fast enough.
Yeah, but they've lost 5 of 6. They've lost 5 of 6.
Is that right? 5 of 6?
Yeah, because they were swept by the Phillies and then lost 2 out of 3 to the Tigers, as Pat just said.
Okay,
but again, they're coming into a break and the season basically resets.
3-3, 3-4, 5-6, 4-6, 4-7, 4-8. They're 4-8 this month. 4-8. It's not that good. I'm not going to pick the sweep, though. Pat, what do we got? What do we got? What do we got?
It's time for
Crystal Bomb.
Bomb it.
Bomb it.
Bomb it.
Joe, score update, por favor.
Gladly. Again, going to go back to the Royal Series because yeah,
this
only
is so
one.
Far ago. Literally, this feels like ages ago.
Yeah, it literally feels like they played a month ago and they haven't. Royal Series, only 1 point from one of our guys. And it's the guy currently holding up the this hand symbol right now. That's Pat. He correctly predicted Rafi Devers. Feels like almost any time you predict Devers, you're going to get a point on that one. So it's still Gordo in the lead with 13. Sammy has 12. Pat has 7. And then me with 2. Oh, I should also mention Sammy struck out with Yoshida. Gordo, you went with Thick Willie, and I went with Connor Wong.
Did you say that I'm at 13, Sammy's at 12?
Yes, yeah, still a 1 point, 1 point gap. And Sammy already made his pick, and it's a pretty good one.
Sammy took Devers, which means shit, I better get it right. Pat, can you let me go first so I can
go for it? I'll go last. Gordo, you can go first.
I'm taking Tyler O'Neill.
You piece of shit.
Yeah, because he's going to be rested. I'm going to assume that the Dodgers are going to find a way to throw a lot of lefties at the Red Sox, which means Tyler O'Neill should get some good looks. I feel like Tyler O'Neill in his first at bat after the break, like this is just like prime for Tyler O'Neill. He loves the firsts. So give me Tyler O'Neill in his first at bat of the series. Hopefully James Paxton gets the first game. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure I had O'Neill recently and he struck out, I think, 8 million times. So
yeah, he's been cold.
Yeah. Good luck on that one. Someone who's not cold is Jarren Duran. I mean, the dude launches it in the All-Star game. It's recent enough where I feel comfortable in picking him for my crystal bomb. Again, spotlight, Dodgers, national TV for at least the Sunday night game. I don't know about Friday or Saturday. No, Saturday they got the Fox on Saturday night. So this is prime opportunity for him to show the MLB world, hey, I'm here and I'm a player. Jarren Duran goes deep against the Dodgers.
Hmm.
Is that another pick I stole from you?
No. I'm just thinking. Likely getting two lefties. I wanted to go righty. Gordo took O'Neill.
So your righty picks could be like Sedan or Ref Snyder.
I'm going to go Connor Wong.
Wong, yeah.
I'm going to go Connor Wong.
Oh, former team, revenge game.
Yeah. I'm going
Connor Wong. Oh, I like it. All right, I like it. All right, well, I guess we'll transition it over to some guys being dudes, which, I mean, Sammy's not here. Whatever. Cha, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
This is the segment where we have no losers, only winners. It sounds so weird coming out of my mouth. I need a recording of Sammy saying this, but no losers, only winners. Pick a player that's played for both the Dodgers and the Red Sox. There are maybe 10,000 of these players. They literally just trade each other back and forth. Guys come to one team, go back, like Kike Hernandez back and forth. Oh, Connor Wong. Oh, right. Like the Dodgers right now have 5 players that have played for the Red Sox. Mookie, Kike, Brazier, Joe Kelly, James Paxton. How many do the Red Sox have? Is it just Kenley and Wong, or are there more now?
Kenley, Wong, well, Chris Martin.
Chris Martin. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's all I can think of, at least current team. That's all I can think of.
You know what I will say? This new iteration of the MLB at Bat app is so bad. It's so hard for me to like pull up schedules and rosters and stuff. Chase Anderson feels like he's pitched for the Dodgers at some point, but I don't know if he has. I think I'm thinking of Tyler Anderson. Giolito has not. Liam Hendricks has not. I don't know. Has Alex Spies? Has Trey Winginter? I don't know. So, yeah, guys being dudes, I'll go last on this one. Does anyone want it? Does anyone have a guy they're dying to throw out there first?
I'll go first. I'll get this one out of here. Probably the guy who maybe was the center of one of the biggest trades in Red Sox history, Ruby De La Rosa. Guy came in a return for Nick Punto, for Adrian Gonzalez, for Carl Crawford, for Josh Beckett, and actually what did play in a few and a handful of games on the 2013 team. He went 0-2 in 11 games with a 5.56 ERA in 2013. First 2 years with the Dodgers, next 2 years with the Sox. His best year came in 2015 with the Diamondbacks. He went 14-9 with a 4.67 ERA. Last game played was in 2017. He played in 9 games that year with Arizona, 0-1, 4.70 ERA. But you could say you don't have 2013 without Ruby De La Rosa.
Pedro thought he was the next Pedro. I thought you were, when you said the centerpiece, when you said the centerpiece, I definitely thought you were going Nick Punto.
I did too.
Nah, too obvious. Again, we're going for obscurity here.
I agree. Nick Punto is definitely the most obvious Red Sox player of all time.
All right, Pat, what you got?
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm going with one of the best. All right, that was crazy. He had a very good one-year stint, was an all-star, was not re-signed because the Red Sox had a top prospect coming up. Does anyone have a guess?
Mark Loretta.
Ding, ding, ding. Mark Loretta, 2006 American League all-star, hit 285. Wanted to come back to Boston, just no room because the dirt dog was on his way up.
So Mark Loretta was in town with the Padres. He's working for them. And Bradfo and I had lunch with him in the media room, and we were talking about that. And he said, I told the Red Sox I would come back for 1 year and $1 million. And they said, no, we've got this kid we want to play. And Pedroia comes up and struggles so much. And Loretta said he had teammates calling him like, you got to come back. And by that point, he'd signed with the Astros. Like, what? I can't trade myself. So, he wanted to be here. But I think, as good as Mark Loretta was, the Red Sox probably made the right call, giving the keys to Dustin.
Just maybe.
Just maybe. For mine, I'm going to go with a bittersweet one here because I really liked the player, but I had reason to not. I'm going Takashi Saito. And I liked the player because, you know, solid relief option. Definitely closed a little bit with the Dodgers. So it was like, oh, shit, like the Red Sox are getting another closer. Multiple closers on the team. Oh. But he took Manny's number, and that never resonated well with me. I hated Jason Bay because he was the Manny replacement. I couldn't stand that they gave Manny's number to Takashi Saito. I thought they should have retired it. But yeah, Takashi Saito, kind of like an insignificant Red Sox career, but solid pitcher.
So it was the second year they tried to go and get a Dodgers closer. They tried Eric Gagne. That failed miserably.
Stud.
And then yeah, they went Saito.
Sox Dodgers. Adrian Beltre.
How about friend of the program, Joe Kelly? Friend of the program, Rich Hill.
How many 04 champs also played for the Dodgers? Bill Miller, Nomar, Derek Lowe.
Did Pokey Reese have a stint over there?
It fits the eye test. Like, you know how you like pictures?
Did you say Derek Lowe?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Pedro.
Yep.
Manny.
Damon didn't. Nixon didn't.
Tech didn't.
I feel like Minkiewicz had Miller to spend it here.
Bill Miller did.
He did. Yeah.
Kevin. Millar, I feel like Minkiewicz.
Bellhorn. I think Bellhorn might have been a Dodger at one point.
It fits the eye test, but I can't tell if it's because I know he played for the Cubs and they have similar uniforms.
Oh, maybe I'm. Yeah, you might be right.
Trot did not. Who else came? Keith Folk did not.
Bellhorn did.
Bellhorn did?
Did not.
Oh, did not.
But
yeah, Sox Dodgers, tons of overlap. It's like a shame. It's a shame that Carl Crawford, 04 champ Carl Crawford.
Dagon.
7-time World Series champion, Adrian Gonzalez, also known as the Cooler. It's a shame that the Red Sox only play the Dodgers once a year because they could do a series every single series of the year and we would be able to come up with a new guys being dudes from our lifetime.
Yeah, I'm very surprised to find out this is their first time back to Dodger Stadium since winning it all in 18.
Is that right?
Yep.
I fit. Wow. Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, because the Dodgers came to Fenway last year.
Yeah. No, that adds up.
Yeah, we're going to hit the end of these. Like, oh, it's been how many years? Like, after this year, this will be the last year of it because now it's just alternating. But I think it's about time to wrap this baby up. We appreciate you guys tuning in for episode 99 of Playtessie. 99 episodes. You've been at it. But before you tune into the Red Sox game, before you get back to work or whatever you're doing with your day, hit that subscribe button, whether you're on the Odyssey app, Apple, or Spotify. Hit the 5-star button. That helps us out a ton. So rate, subscribe, check us out on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel. We got a Playtessie playlist there, so you can find us there. You can hit the thumbs up on those videos, which we really appreciate. And you can also find us on the socials, Playtessie, on Twitter and Instagram. Great content coming out there all the time. Big Brave Dog has gotten so good at video editing. It is crazy. Edits from the podcast. We talk to the players and those videos go up. There's just so much going up on those socials. So I really recommend the follow. But we appreciate you guys tuning in. For Pat, for Joe, it's Gordo here for Playtessie episode 99. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.